We're still in the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. How long we'll be there, I don't know. Maybe it'll Jesus comes back. What do you think of that? You never know. Might be. Hallelujah. Well, anyhow, so we're going over, we're going to be jumping back in. We can't go over, you know, things before, you know, that we did. We were in chapter 16, and we had gotten up to, we had finished up with the 11th verse we had done. But anyhow, the things we looked at in there were what were called the bowl judgments that are poured out into the earth. And, really, absolutely horrendous things, you know, have taken place on the earth. And, it isn't done yet. But, we went through really the first five judgments that came, and these judgments are really hugely severe. I mean, what is taking place on the earth is just sort of, really, I mean, one of the things I think about the Bible, you know, tells us because when people, you know, when people die without Christ, they go to hell and they're under punishment there. But, and then you think about, well, the final judgment's a lake of fire. What must it be like from a judgment standpoint if this stuff is happening here on the earth? What is the severity of the final judgment? What are these people going to be? What happens to people in eternal judgment? I mean, it's like, whoa. I mean, I just can't imagine because the severity of these things going on in the earth. There's one thing that's reading, yes, and I've often thought about it because as you read the book of Revelation, and I think a lot of people stay away from it because people cannot relate to God. Really, it's very hard for people in American culture to relate to God in the book of Revelation because so much of Christianity is, so many decades has been taught in a very one-sided love. If God loves, so it's, if He loves, you know, and if people say, well, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, we're not supposed to avenge ourselves. It says, vengeance is mine, saying the Lord, I'll repay. And this is about. This is about payday. This is about payday. And people just really have, I don't know, they think just because God loves it, He's just going to let everything go. And it's just a very, very hard thing for people to understand, and I can see by what is taught. I've read some things here over the last few years. People wrote about, you know, the things because, if you went back, you know, years ago in the preaching of the gospel till we come today, it's been changed so much. The gospel, they call it the gospel, but it really isn't the gospel. You know, we're not preaching it. You know, you never have somebody preach the gospel and ever use, you know, to John, the third chapter in the verse 36 verse where it says that, you know, says the unbeliever, the wrath of God abides on him. They don't ever bring those things up. It's like we have these certain scriptures that are used and it really, people don't come under conviction. And this is such a horrible, terrible thing going on here. I often wonder what people are going to think who are lost and what they will think of the gospels they've heard. What will they think of those things? The one book that I have, and I think you have it too, Rose, with that lady was died and got caught up to heaven and that stuff. And now she didn't die. She got caught up to heaven. They thought she was in a coma. But one of the things, this happened back in the 1840s, I think it was, or something like that. Marietta Davis. But one of the things she talked about, she says when she is in heaven, she said she had this experience where she didn't say it was hell, but there was an illustration that was given to her, like she was taken, and she said it was like a planet. And she said it looked very beautiful, and she said she was taken there to this. And was sort of, was to show her something, the way things are. But one of the things about it, she said she got there, she said everything looked wonderful and beautiful, but she said what looked like water and stuff wasn't water, it was like this metallic substance. And she said everything was sort of, it was just basically a false beauty. And she said people were there and they said they went to church. And she said they were in church and the minister got up and she said, basically what it was is, you know, the whole thing's a fake. And he got up and he couldn't preach because, you know, he ended up cursing. And the people started cursing him out because really, they're under torment and things because he had lied to them all the time as he preached the gospel to them, never told them the truth. And so they all ended up in this place together where they're in torment. Nothing satisfies, nothing works, nothing is, and they're living there. And it was just sort of a type of things. And I've often thought of, what is going to happen, when people know that they've been lied to about things, lost in eternity, and these people who were there who lied to them, because they're going to be there. These ministers that are lying to people today, they ain't going to end up, and they're lying to people today about these things. And it's just incredible, because when we ended the last time, we looked at the fact that these judgments that had been poured out, they had these grievous sores. Their water turned to blood. They had been painfully scorched by the sun. So their food supply has been gone, and there's a darkness that magnifies all the agony of all this. And this isn't like one bad thing happens and it goes away in another one. This is just a constant from one bad thing's happened and the next one's right on top of that, and none of it goes away. And so we're going to pick up on the 12th verse of chapter 16 about what goes on here. And this part here, in this judgment, and understand, this is going to be a judgment poured out into the earth. Because in verse 12 says, then it says, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the ways of the kings from the east might be prepared. It said, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Said, for they are spirits of demons performing signs which go to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. And then it says, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. It says, and they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. So really, this is going to be the last great battle. We see going on here, though, what is... Now, I want you to think about this, because, well, the Euphrates River, really used in those time periods, Euphrates River was a place that really was sort of dividing line in the Roman kingdom dealing with the east. It was sort of like a barrier. The Euphrates River is like about 1,800 miles long. And it goes from anywhere to 300 to 1,200 yards wide in its, as it goes through. And it was really a barrier, really, that kept a lot of armies and stuff from crossing. So it was a major thing to cross over there, going east to west or west to east, whichever it was. But it talks about these here. In other words, this river's going to dry up. And now it's the call to the armies of the east. And what we need to understand is Easter, we're dealing with countries, like a lot of people say, well, it's going to be China and them. Well, they may be involved in that or those things, those countries. But it's going to also be like Iran and those countries that are east on that side over in through in those areas. We also in India, different nations and that stuff, which coming over into this area. Now, I want you to think about this as you look at it, because Satan is not doing this in ignorance. That we already know that he knows his time's short. He understands his time's short. What's he doing this for? Why is he sending? In other words, he's still in a place where God's controlling things. He can't just up and do what he wants. In other words, these demons can't be released to do this till God allows it. So these demons that are being released are being released. Satan is doing this from the standpoint, he knows what's going to happen to these armies. He knows what's going to take place in Armageddon. He's leading all these people to their death. That's what he's doing. He's leading these armies to their death. He knows full well what's going on. If he knows his time's short, he knows this, he ain't going to win no battle. He understands that. He doesn't win the thing. You understand what Satan does? He's only in the interest of destroying people, keeping people out of the kingdom of God. That's what he understands and knows. He's not going to rule and reign forever and nowhere. He knows that. So what he's doing is really, he's setting up the people in the earth. So the people who have followed him, the people who have taken the mark and all that stuff, he's leading them to just More torment. More. he's setting them all up. So this is really where this is going to happen here. Now in verse 17 it says, "And then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, 'It is done.' And there were noises and thundering and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such as a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. It says, 'Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath.' It says, 'Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great.'" So we're seeing the point. In other words, this is the final judgment. This is the final judgment. This is the end of the judgments on the earth. I mean, I can't imagine how things are because, you know, we're coming to places, Armageddon, this battle. There's going to be so much death there that it is, you know, innumerable. This has to do with Jesus Christ is going to come back, and we're running at the end of this thing. So this announcement really is from the throne. In other words, there's no more delay. God stretched out the scene as much as he could, but the seals were followed by trumpets, and the trumpets were followed by bowls. But there is, will be no more judgments upon the earth after this. So it's done. This is going to be the final thing. Here's the final judgment, and really what we would call going in is going to go into the millennial reign of Christ. I can't imagine what the earth's going to look like when that because things are, wow, hope they have a good cleanup crew because it's got, whoa, glory. Well, anyhow. So the bowl is poured out in the air. So the fact the bowl is poured out in the air is really, this is the judgment of the kingdom of Satan's kingdom, the prince of the power of the air. This is his judgment at this time is being poured out. So it says, you know, so there was a great earthquake. Now think about this earthquake. There's nothing in comparison to this kind of earthquake. It's the worst it's been ever been in the earth. The islands, in other words, the islands that they were looking at, I would imagine that John was probably seeing mostly from the earth of what nations that they saw at that time and they understood in their area. So we're probably seeing a Mediterranean Sea, and in all those areas and different places, all the islands disappear. There's no more islands. They're gone. This earthquake and the mountains are gone. Mountains are going to be... You know, this is the devastation in this of this earthquake. We find that the city, in other words, Babylon, the one that where the Antichrist had his kingdom was operating out of, it's going to be divided into three. The city is going to be divided by three by the earthquake. So this is going to be just a phenomenal thing that is going to take place at that time. So it tells us that Babylon was remembered for God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So the fall of Babylon, the great city, it is more explicitly, you know, described in which we'll look at into Revelation, the 17th and 18th chapters talks about Babylon. But here gives us the cup of the wine of the fierceness of the wrath of God. Now these are interesting because the Greek words that are used here is the fierceness of the wrath of God. And we look at the word here, themos, describes a passion or an outburst of anger, really of God's wrath. And there's also the ancient Greek word orge, which is used here, describes a state of anger. And then really the combination of using these two words is the idea of the strongest kind of outpouring of divine judgment that there could be. This is just the judgment that's going to be poured out is just going to be astronomical, what's taking place. And I want you to think about it. It talks about great hail. It says about a talent. That's around 100 pounds. 100-pound hailstones falling out of the sky. And, it's hard to imagine. I mean, if you took 100 pounds and you take it up about 10,000 feet and release it, and it drops, now it'll reach a certain speed, it'll stop because of it. But I mean, you're talking about its speed doubling. And when I mean, you can't imagine what a 100-pound ice ball when it hits something on the earth. Yeah, you just can't. You just cannot imagine what it these things will happen. Now, this isn't the first time. This is from a scriptural standpoint. God has used hail before. It's always it cracks me up when people say. I heard these people say, "Well, you know, they drop nuclear weapons and then they get hail sometimes, and that could happen." But we have anything of this magnitude. But we find in the Bible where there was no nuclear weapons and there was huge hail fell and killed people. So. God did. This isn't the first time that this is used. That this is used as judgment. It was felt Exodus. There was hail was judgment. Isaiah it also talked about it with the Canaanites. And Joshua also in Ezekiel, Gog and Magog. We find there talks about giant hail. So I mean, this isn't the first time that these things have happened. But this outpouring, and understand again, what is going on here, we read and said men don't repent. Now, God did not expect them to repent. These judgments are not to turn people, it is to destroy them. That's what it's for. These judgments are not trying to get people to turn. Because God is not drawing these people to Christ. He's not drawing them to change. They had their opportunity to change and they chose to follow the Antichrist. Therefore, their punishment falls exactly the same. So, we need to get a hold of that when we read these things. And so we're going to go on from here because what happens, we're going to go into chapter 17 because chapter 17 is going to deal with what we talked before about and the harlot. We're going to look at this. These are very important area is to look at is understand because we can see this. This has been building now in worldwide. This religious system, historically, this stuff goes way back, and we'll read some historical things and stuff about because these false religions and things going up on the book that was I had had the book. That was called The Return of the Gods. The Return of the Gods really does deal with this, actually this subject about what the harlot is, because it's dealing with these demonic powers and that stuff, and they have gotten into religion. They're into Christianity. Christianity has accepted a lot of things that are not Christian. And these things have slowly seeped in over time into things. This is one of the things that we need to be very careful in looking at these things. And as we go in, we'll get a little more detailed. But in Revelation 17, verse 1 says, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked to me, saying to me, 'Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on the many waters.'" Now, this is the harlot. Whenever if you go back into the prophets and read any of the prophets in the Old Testament, when it's talked about harlotry and stuff like that, it's always talking about false religion. It's always talking about Israel got over into false religion. God always called them a harlot, a prostitute. What they're doing, they got it hooked up with other nations into other kinds of gods and things like that. And this is what this is talking about here, which rises up. Israel always had this thing, even when they'd fall with all these other gods, and Christianity does it today. There's much of it is sort of a crossbreed between Christianity and other religions. It gets to be a crossbreed. It happens all the time. You go out, they'll have things in it that are from other religions. One of the big things is people never realized about how the Beatles really got the introduction into Eastern religions and got it into the churches and that stuff, opened themselves up to all kinds of stuff. The churches were sending, during their time period, because they really got into this a lot, and I guess maybe Christianity looked like as way, well, you know, if they were popular, so we can get people, maybe we can get hooked up with people, whatever they're doing. But anyhow, they got into a lot of this Eastern religion stuff. Ministries were literally sending their people to courses and stuff, like going to India and different places and that kind of stuff. I was over in India. Was over in India ministering, and I just couldn't believe it. There was one of the things that they had this temple. We met this young couple, and it was this young couple. They were from England, and they were. all into this, you know, Eastern religions and that stuff. And we ran into them, was talking to them, and they were saying, oh, they were here. And they said, oh, how enlightening all this is. And I just turned around, looked, told them, I said, excuse me, but I said, look around you at how people are living here. I said, this is enlightening. I said, it's really helping them a lot, isn't it? I said, this is enlightenment. I said, if this is doing this to them, it'll do it to you too. And it is. I mean, a lot of what we have today of the drug culture and all that stuff comes from those that stuff. It comes from. That's where it comes from. They all this stuff come in, and hey, you know, they started expanding their minds. Yes, that's what the devil tells you. Yeah, do this. It'll expand your mind. It'll burn what little few cells you got left up there that are rolling around. You know, it's just, I mean, it's just like telling you, here we are in America today, and we have, you know, the turning around and, you know, legalizing marijuana and doing all this. As I sit down and think, where have we come to? I mean, we have people sitting claiming to be Christians. Well, you know, you got to love people, and oh, we understand. It's like, yeah, boy, you're going to have fun in hell with them when you turn around and end up there with them because you promoted to them to go ahead and do these things that are destroying their life, and you think you're going to end up with Jesus? It's like, give me a break. You know, hey, I was into drugs and stuff. I went that route, folks, and there ain't no good in none of it. There is no good in any of it. So don't ever let people think you that there's no harm in this, you know. It's bad enough people and they're drinking and getting crazy. And let's add something to this. Let's get it, make it worse. I mean, let's just, man, we got to do it. But this is one thing, the love of money. When it comes to money, anything a politician thinks he can make a buck from to get more money to spend, he'll do it. Because he knows he can buy votes with people. Let them do what they want and they'll vote for me. So, you know, those things go on. But here we find this harlot. Now it says this harlot sits on many waters, and this is where he describes it. In other words, it sits on many nations or many peoples. Lots of times peoples are things in declaring of like waters sometimes in the mentions of oceans and things like that. In other words, this is coming out of many waters or people. So many of the people are following this religion. It's like today. Many people today are following false religion. And we're not talking about, you know, that they're following Hinduism or whatever, Buddhism. And Christianity is filled with false religion. Full of it. It's all out of here. You know, people have gotten around. I mean, the fact of all the, I mean, look, we have major denominations have gone over with the homosexuality and all that stuff. I mean, I had the wonderful opportunity to sit in a spirit-filled church and listen to a pastor talking about the fact of, well, you know, you can't hate what the homosexuals do and walk in love toward them and that. In other words, and I thought, I was sitting there listening to this guy and I'm thinking, you know what? He's probably messing around. He's probably messing around. I can tell you this. I knew for a fact in his church he had a bunch of homosexuals. I knew he did. And I know he's talking to keep them happy. And he'll probably be in hell with them. And, you know, getting all we're talking, the Bible says we're supposed to hate even the garments that they wear. And it's not talking about physical garments. It's talking about person, sin. You don't ever love sin. I don't care in a person. I don't care how much you love a person. You can, if they're living in sin, you can never love the sin they do. They have to know that you're repulsed by the things they do. And if you like the sin that they're doing, you got a problem. You got a problem. If you don't hate sin, you'll be doing it. It's a very simple thing. That's why sin runs rampant today, because Christians don't hate sin. They don't hate it. They just, you know, they play up to it. Well, we have here the judgments of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw the woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now I want you to, I'm going to tell you this. This religion is going to have a lot to do with, it's going to have parts of it that are going to be tied with beliefs of Christianity. It's going to have other religious beliefs. It's going to be the acceptance to everybody and everybody's beliefs. You know, you have yours, I have mine, and all this kind of stuff. You know, there's one of the things, deception always has truth in it. You know, it's like rat poison. It has enough in it that tastes good that you'll eat it. You know, yeah. I know Randall Gruey used to talk about, there was a guy, he met a guy, and a guy told him, he was an exterminator, and a guy told him, he said, you know, rat poison only had, you know, a couple percent of it's bad. It's only a couple percent. He said, all the rest of it's inert. It's good. It's fine. He said, but that couple percent is what kills you. Well, you know, a couple percent can kill you. They're getting over into these drastic things. But what we're going to see, the harlot really is false religion, and it's riding on Satan, the dragon. We had read back in Revelations 12, in verse 3, I'll read that to you, 3 and 4, it says, and another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. And his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, and drew them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour the child as soon as it was born. Now, it was reference to Satan, and here it is. This religion is going to ride in on Satan. We're already having it in today. That's why we have all this stuff, the acceptance of all kind of things. Daniel made mention, and Daniel said concerning this guy who's going to be the Antichrist, speaks of him, and he said doesn't have any desire for a woman. I've been saying for years before homosexuality became popular in politics, I've always said, this guy's going to be a homosexual. Said he has no desire for a woman. And see, they're already, it's just like the Pope. Pope's following along with this thing here. When the Lord told me, he said, this Pope is going to be instrumental in bringing the Antichrist into power. And it is. See, all this moving toward the homosexual things is going to move toward the end. The Antichrist is going to be a pervert. He ain't going to be a cutie.
Right.
Do you think the devil's going to be a straight guy? Give me a break. If you think that way, you need to have another dip. I'll tell you. There is no good in the devil. He has no good. He only is a pervert. That's all he is. The devil perverts everything that's good. Anything that's good, he's going to pervert it. And so that's why this homosexual and gay stuff is pushing, because that's what the devil's pushing. And people who are yielding to demonic powers are not good people. They are yielded to demons that are driving them to accept this stuff. It's okay. It's all right, you know. They really do are nice people. It's okay. It's all right. We're going to go along with this stuff. Well, it's not going to go well. This religion is riding on Satan itself. Satan is the promoter of this religious system. He is the promoter of it. And so, number one, see, here's where he comes to seem to be a nice guy. He lets his false religion come in and ride in, and it rides in on him. And he uses it to attract people. And they get trapped. And then what does he do? We're going to find out what he does. He's going to destroy this religion because he's going to declare he's God. And he's going to get rid of it. The people that he let come in and ride in on him, he's going to destroy them. That's the way the devil does. You know, see, I was involved in sorcery and that kind of stuff. There's one thing as I learned over time. Satan always destroys the people who yield to him and follow him. He always destroys them. The better you are to champion him, the more likely he is to kill you. That's the devil. There's no good in him. He's a liar. He's not an author of life. And see, this is why people say, well, there's certain things, this ain't too bad, and that ain't too bad. Well, it will end up that way. So, we need to be careful about these things. Revelation 17 and verse 4 says, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of the abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. So we find out, see, this thing's going to really look good, and already it is today. Now, if you go to Europe today, and if you went into Europe, I mean, the European, they're already pushing the church, what they called Christians, different denominations there, are already pushing into the things with Catholicism. They're moving more and more together. Like the Pope especially, he has a big voice into the earth. I mean, just think about, what other religion gets a voice into America like the Pope does? I mean, he shows up, you know, no matter a religious leader shows up, White House don't open the door for other religious leaders. But the Pope comes and everybody, oh, he's coming and, you know, And he has a big voice. One of the things that they're doing is he has really been playing to the Muslims and Hindus and stuff about, you know, come on, we can all get along together. We can find a place. You know, we're all going to get along together. You have your way of believing, and we have ours. You know, that there's, you know, the things. I mean, Oprah Winfrey, I have my truth. It's my truth. No, there is no such thing as my truth. It's the truth. There's a the truth, and if yours ain't in the truth camp, then you and the devil got a good thing going. It's not about my truth. I am not the author of truth. Never happened. You do. Hallelujah. So, but we see what it happens is this thing is going to look good. It talks about the colors of pearl and scarlet, purple, scarlet. Purple was a royal color. Also, scarlet was a color worn by the priesthood. And so, false religion is always, you know, attractive to the flesh. In other words, this is going to have a lot of good trappings. People are going to feel good. It's the seeker-friendly church. It's seeker-friendly church, you know, whatever keeps you happy, then we can keep you here. And this whole thing's going. It's demonic. It is. Its base is demonic. You know, what can we do to keep you happy here? What can we do that makes you like and it's all right? And this is what's going to be. And things are moving in that direction. And it's not good. It'll have the trappings of kinds of purity. And but the bottom line of it, its drink is filth. See, purity has been changed today. Purity is whatever makes people feel good and feels like it's purity. It's all right. I'm not doing anything that hurts anybody else. If it's just me doing my thing, and that's hurting other people. If it's sin, it's hurting other people. And so we have these things going. Now, in the 17th chapter, verse 5 says, "And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon, the great, Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." Said, "I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement." So this is the Babylonian system, it says here, is not just a world government system, it's a world religious system under Satan's control. There's nothing greater than you have a religious political system that operates and works. See, that's what they're doing today. They're doing today here in America. They're sort of trying to merge, you know. Everything comes together, you know, in politics. But through the centuries, we find here in the other centuries, this religious system has seeped into Judaism and into Christianity. It works in all the false world religions. And we'll look more at this thing here, the things that are going on. One of the things we want to look at is this, because this system goes back really to the beginning. It goes back to in Book of Genesis, where dealing with the areas of is in Genesis 10 and verse 8. It talks here about Cush. He says begot Nimrod, and he says he became a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before God. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before God. Now, I want to that their word. They use the word before God. And see, people thought, well, he was somehow like, you know, God, you know, like this guy or something. That word before, really, it has the idea of in the face of God. He was in the face of God. And that's what Nimrod was. Nimrod was a guy who built the Tower of Babel in the face of God. He was not a good man. And it says that he began in verse 10 in Genesis 10 and verse 10 says, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calna in the land of Shinar. From that land he went to Assyria and built Nineveh. he all the holy spots he built. And Rehoboth, Ire, and Kala, and it says, and Rezin between Nineveh and Kala. He said that is the principal city. And this guy here says, so really, he was in defiance. He was in the face of God. He's in defiance of the Lord. Nimrod, he actually, if you study ancient history, he is mentioned by other in the writings of other nations and that stuff, historic nations. His name was, we know him and was written in scripture in Hebrew as being Nimrod, but his name was also found in history as Gilgamesh. That was under ancient writings. And what it means, Nimrod, actually, that name means a rebel. That's what he was. He was a rebel. And he would fit in society today real well. But Gilgamesh was his in ancient history. This is what Josephus, this is what Josephus wrote, the historian Josephus, back in the time, he lived back during the time of Christ and all that, but he wrote about this guy. It says, this is what Nimrod did with the people he ruled. Now, it was Nimrod who excited them to such an affront and contempt of God. He was the grandson of Ham, the son of Noah, a bold man and a great strength of hand. He pursued them, he persuaded them not to ascribe it to God as if it were through his means that they were happy, but to believe that it was their own courage which procured that happiness. He also gradually changed the government into tyranny, seeing no other way of turning men from the fear of God, but to bring them into constant dependence upon his own power. It says, he also said he would bring revenge on God if he should have a mind to drown the world again. In other words, he got over this thing about God drowning the world, that this was, he wasn't going to allow him to do this again. He wasn't going to allow him. See, he's just like the devil, you know, he's going to take over God's throne. See, this is a really, Nimrod was sort of like the Antichrist of his day. That's what he was. It says, for he would build a tower too high for the waters to be able to reach, and that he would avenge himself on God for destroying their forefathers. That's what he wrote. So what Josephus says is precisely what is found in Gilgamesh, the Gilgamesh epics that was written about his tyranny. So he opposed Yahweh and did his utmost to get people to forsake him. That's what he did. So we're dealing with this. This is what has come up here. Now, I'm going to read something to you tonight here, because it sort of gets us to see some of this about these religious beliefs and the things and their time period. Let's see. That was the Babylon and the harlot. Okay, this one here I'm going to read to us. Now, this is about Babylon the harlot. We need to understand about what we're dealing with. A lot of this religious stuff was passed on down through the centuries. It's not changed from Babylon on down through. And as we go on and studying some of these, you need to understand this of what, when we look at Revelation here, also we go back under the prophets, we're going to find, you go back under reading the prophets, you'll find some of the names of these gods that people were worshiping were tied back to the Babylonian system. This was who it all came from. In Babylon was not the Babylon. We talk about like the virgin birth and Christ. That's not the first. You go back into, that's what under Babylon and all that stuff comes out, where they have all this stuff where they had a woman who was considered a god, and she had a child, and they end up with Tammuz, who they worshiped, where today, that's where the cross comes from. The cross was started in Egypt. Nowhere you will find that the church never carried the symbol of the cross. That was started later on. That came from Tammuz. That had afterwards, and we'll read other things, and we'll show you from a historical standpoint where all this stuff comes from. They picked up because of the joining and uniting of religion in Rome, and where it came out, all this stuff, stuff just carried on. But here it says, some Jews who escaped Babylon captivity fled to Egypt. Now it says, in Egypt, they refused to give up the worship of the Queen of Heaven and her son Tammuz. The Queen of Heaven was one, if you go down and read the prophets, they would worship, the Jews would worship it, got over it. And Tammuz, this was the guy, was her son. So they had the woman and her son. This was all in this religious thing was going on back then. You know, the devil, you know, we put the devil as ignorance, doesn't know what's going on. But see, the devil had set these things up. The devil wasn't ignorant of what God was going to do. He just couldn't do nothing about it. But he was not ignorant of it. So he offers, he says, Jeremiah was taken into captivity by this group to the land of Egypt. This same Babylonian religion has elements that have been transferred to today's cultural Christianity. For example, it says the word Easter is of a pagan origin, along with eggs, white dresses, bunny rabbits. And these practices have been traced back to the Babylonian fertility rites. That's where all that stuff came from. See, when Rome decided they were going to, what they did is they took the pagans, and they decided when the church at Rome started off, they had all the pagans that they were dealing with. So, when the Roman church started off, they decided, well, we have all these people, we're dominated, but there's all these heathens. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring them, everybody has to be a Christian. And they said everybody has to accept Christianity. Number one, you got to keep control over people and do things. What they did is they began to bring into Christianity things from those other religions to take those people to keep them happy, to bring them in to do stuff. And they started doing this. But all these things come from them. That none of these things is, you know, we take them and do them and we use them and stuff. But we need, you know, it's hard in the church for the church to deal with this stuff. Because it's accepted practice. It's all the accepted practices that come along. So it goes on. It says the assault is not just on cultural Christianity, but on faith directly. It says here, Catholicism today has incorporated many of the errors of Israel made during the time of Jeremiah. The following is from, now listen, the following, this is from the official Catholic Catechism ratified by the Second Vatican Council. And it's section 996, you can go into their account, you can read about this stuff. It says, finally, the Immaculate Virgin, preserved free from all sin of original, and of original sin, when the course of her earthly life was finished, was taken up bodily and soul into heavenly glory and exalted by the Lord as queen over all things, so that she might be the most fully conformed to her Son, the Lord of Lords and conqueror of sin and death. The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin is a singular participation in her Son's resurrection and an anticipation of the resurrection of other Christians. Is giving birth, you kept your virginity in your dormition. You did not leave the world, O Mother of God, but were joined to the source of life. You conceived the living God, and by your prayers will deliver our souls from death. Now, it says today there is more within the Catholic Church to give Mary the title to co-redemptress. She's a co-redemptor, meaning that she plays a part in redemption, which is contrary to Scripture. But it says Pope Leo XIII, it says the source, the recourse we have to Mary in prayer follows upon the office she continuously fills by the side of the throne of God as mediatrix of divine grace, being the worthiness and by merit most acceptable to him, and therefore surpassing in power all the angels and saints of heaven. Now this merciful office of hers perhaps appears in no other form of prayer so manifestly as it does the rosary, for in the rosary all the parts that Mary took as our co-redemptress comes into play. See, we have these things. But you know, people, this has become acceptable things. These are all things totally against Scripture. Totally against Scripture. And, but it's no, where it comes from, it started way back in the beginning. They opened the door to things and they started into these things. And what happens? You're appeasing people, leaving demons and stuff in. I mean, when I was in Bible school, they had us in classes and studied some of the stuff. And I mean, it is so perverted. It is just phenomenally incredible, some of this stuff. How it got started, how these things went, and, you know. But people today, there is so much from the standpoint of acceptance of all these kind of things. And see, these perversions end up in, and this is one thing, people want to be accepted, and so people want to accept people. Personally, I don't care whatever religion you choose, but, you know, you choose what you want. But I ain't going to agree with you that it's right. It's simple. It ain't right. And see, we have done these things, and we've taken around, and it is like, it's most a phenomenal thing. I mean, what we've done in Christianity, we have the trappings of truth, but there's no power to it. It's these trappings, and anybody tries to touch anything in amongst this stuff that isn't right, the first thing they'll do is everybody rises up and, well, you gotta walk along. This is the way. Everything's okay. No, we need to understand this. If we want a move of God will come according to, and God can only do according to how people believe. Jesus, in ministering healing to people, Jesus never said, by my faith, you're healed. Never said that. As you believe, be it so unto you. You're not going to get any more of a move of God if you believe the way you believe, and if you're believing wrong. People need to understand this. There is a thing about a purity of truth. We don't like that today. We have about the acceptance of everything. We have about, you know, accepting it, but you can't do that. Because, you know, you add some dirty water into some clean water, you got dirty water. I mean, it's just that simple. It's not, and we need to understand these things of, you know, because, I mean, I used to always wonder, especially as, when I was a sinner running around living like hell, I used to think, what on earth, where did he ever get the name Easter from? What does that got to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What on earth does that name have to do anything? Well, it didn't. But you know what? You'll find major ministers today, spirit-filled ministers, if you try to touch that name, they get mad. No, we're all right in this stuff. No, we're not all right in this stuff. Because there's a load of perversion. Because you need another. Other religions are sitting and listening. Oh, and they have this, and so we have. Hey, we got that in ours. Hey, we're all okay together. We're good. And people are accepting things, and they just, you know, it's like when I grew up, a lot of churches were things like Easter. Easter was like, you know, Easter was a Sunday that everybody got dressed up, and it had more to do with getting dressed up than what it did Jesus being raised from the dead. It was all about, you know, where the Easter bonnet things and all that kind of stuff, and people were, you know, you had this Sunday, and everybody got, you know, you bought new clothes and that stuff to go to church and all kind of things and all that stuff. I used to think about that thing. This is the weirdest thing in the world. We have Jesus' resurrection, but that ain't top on the list of what goes. It wasn't. I mean, we don't take all the time to celebrate the resurrection. We do Christmas.
That's right.
Yet, without the resurrection, Paul wrote, Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. You're dead in sin. It ain't dead. But we don't. Why did we? This has all been played by the devil to push things in to become important. And everybody, hey, we take a truth. There's nothing matter if people want to celebrate the birth of Christ. There's nothing wrong with that. But it gets wrong when it becomes the biggie, when it becomes what's most important. This is the big thing. It's like, no, it's not. The resurrection's the big thing. And resurrection is not good in American culture because it's too gory. We have this guy got beaten and we can't have that in our nice little clean America. Our clean America, we have to have this cute stuff, you know, we gotta have everything cute. Get the bunnies out. let's do all these things and you know. So the church took all the things that the world do, because see, if you go and you look at if you follow through on the worship of the gods of that time that the pagan gods they worship, that's what they had. All their spring festival stuff was all the rabbits and all the kind of, that's what they did. All the egg stuff, that's what they did. So what they did is they converted, okay, this means this now. Okay, alright, you know. So, you know, and so we took it, we brought it to the church. The church bought the thing. but I'll tell you what, people get all upset about it. I'll tell you, it causes a lot of problems. But, later on we'll be reading some other things here, you know, as we go on into this about dealing with this harlot, because where this stuff comes from and different things. But we're going to look here and back to Revelation in the 17th chapter again in verse 7, let me look down here, okay. Starting verse 7, it says, but the angel said to me, why do you marvel? Because he marveled at this woman. He said, I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns, which we read about from Revelation 12, talked about it. It says, the beast that was, that you saw was, and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. So this one, in other words, this system existed. This beast and this religious system existed. It existed in Rome and it went away. But in the end, it's going to come back. And we're living in the days of it coming back. It is coming back in full force. That's why the book, The Return of the Gods is really on, because that's exactly what's happening now. You're going to find within the church world, they will openly worship pagan things, really pagan, downright pagan things. They will. They'll just worship it. So he's a beast that was, will ascend out of the bottomless pit and he'll go to perdition, or the word perdition, the word destruction. That's what's going to happen at the end. The beast is going to end up going into destruction. That's with the dragon. He said, those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not what? Written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. So, he was it. In other words, they're going to marvel. This thing coming back, and it's on its way. When the writing of that book just marred me, I thought, dear Lord, it is a time. It's telling us this stuff that was dealing before with the Roman Empire and all this worship of these gods from the Greeks to the Romans. It's all coming back. These demonic powers are in operation again. And now we're coming back to all this religious worship and everything else. It doesn't surprise me that the Antichrist does exactly what Rome did. In Rome, the emperors became gods that you worship. They build temples to them and they came and worshiped them. It doesn't surprise me. All this is on its way. It's here. I mean, people love to worship stuff. They love to worship things, and they'll definitely want to get into this. So, this beast is Satan, who controls the Antichrist. So he'll dominate him. He'll operate through him. So this one here for the bottomless pit really is dealing with hell. That's where he's going to come to. That's where Satan will be down for 1,000 years again is going to happen. So this one existed. It says, now this empire shows up. Actually, the origination of this empire was revived from the Roman Empire, spoken of by Daniel, is in his interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, is where this last empire is going to come from. This was the one, the empire that was the feet that were made of clay and iron. This is where it's coming from. It says the followers are the ones who take the mark of the beast on here. And in Revelation, in back to 17 and verse 9, it says, here's the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. These are also 7 kings. 5 have fallen. One is, and the others have not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue for a short time. And the beast that was and is not, is himself also the 8th, and is of the 7, and is going into perdition. So as we talk around these heads with the horns and all that kind of stuff, is going to be the rising up of this thing. There was empires, if we look back over the things of the empires, really, that deal against, have came against Israel, which we find, like, through history. We had the Egyptian Empire. They tried to assimilate Israel. See, the same Antichrist spirit was always working. Even before, we talk about Jesus coming along, the Assyrian Empire, they exiled the 10 tribes of Israel, they carried them off. We have Babylon. Babylon destroyed Jerusalem and slaughtered Israel, took a remnant back to Babylon. The Persian Empire attempted to destroy the Jews during Esther's time. The Greece of King Antiochus Epiphanes, abomination of desolation in 164 BC, his dealing with the Jews, he treated them terribly. Rome destroyed Jerusalem, when over 1.5 million Jews died, the rest expelled, during John's day, who we read the book of Revelation. The revived Roman Empire is the future kingdom during the time of the Antichrist. Again, its target is going to be the Jews and Israel again. It's the same target that's going to go on. So, There is a king that will rise in this revised Roman Empire, will be replaced by the Antichrist, will go to destruction and ruin. So he's going to be, whoever this king is going to be replaced by him. And so it goes on to say in Revelation 17, verse 12, it says, "The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received who have no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast." These ten kings dealing with these nations. It said, "These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords, King of kings. Those who are with him are called chosen and faithful." So we see, really, we've read these things in other areas and that stuff, and we're coming back and seeing the same things again. I'm going to finish out here in verse 15. It says, "Then he said, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to fulfill his purpose to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." Well, we see here is number one, what's going to happen? Well, these ten kings get behind the Antichrist. And when the Antichrist says, "Hold it," now they have a worship system. In other words, he's come in on this thing and let them have this worship system. And they came along, was really nice and sweet. But he's going to declare himself as God. And they ain't going to be able to worship in it. You're going to have one way of worship and one and done. That's going to be it. And these ten kings are going to turn around and destroy that system. Now, it says here, "The woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kingdom of the earth." What is that city that reigned over the kings of the earth at that time? It was Rome. Rome was the city that reigned over the kings of the earth. And what do we have here that's going to happen in the Antichrist? Rome. See, this harlot system. I mean, to me it's hard to see it any other way. It's hard to see that it's not going to be Rome. It's hard to see that Catholicism is going through some great changes, and this Pope is really pushing them through. And it's going to be a whole change. Right now, he is unloading any of the conservative priests and bishops. He's getting rid of them. He doesn't want to have them around anymore. United States, he's already replaced ones and that stuff. And you're going to see a split in the Catholic Church. You're going to see a split. You're going to see Catholics who have followed along with the Catholic faith from, years past are going to follow, they're going to end up breaking away. We're going to see a new Catholicism that's going to come out, that's going to engulf all kinds of other religions and things. And, we've already had, charismatic ministers, big name ministers joined up and say, the Pope's okay, the Catholics, it's all okay. And they went over to Rome and kissed the ring. And, they did those things, and those people, and I just couldn't believe that they were stupid enough to, well, they believe in salvation by faith. You can say anything you want. Watch their religion. They don't. They don't. I mean, it's like, But anyhow, people are into that kind of thing. I just want you to see that we need to understand these things are on the horizon. I really do believe you're going to see a real breaking away in Catholicism, just like we have right now. I mean, if we look at different church groups, like the Methodist Church has lost literally thousands of churches. The Methodist Church has lost. They've left them because of their opening up the homosexuality. There's a dividing going on, and it's God's working. God is not working to try to bring everybody to unity. He is not doing that. Anybody who's trying to do that is demonic. God is only circling people around truth. That's what he does. He circles people around truth. He doesn't accepting, I don't hate these other people, but I ain't going along with what they're doing. I mean, they can go ahead and do it, whatever what they are going to do. They can. I mean, they have the right to. God gives us a right to choice. I ain't going to tell them, hey, you ain't allowed to follow that religion. Oh, yeah, you can. You can follow. But you're going to end up with what that thing can bring you. That's what you're going to have. You ain't going to have something else. And so we need to understand that people and the directions that they're going and they're open to this, it just amazes me that all the things. I mean, we have anywhere from the United Church of Christ, we have Lutheran churches that are people are leaving. The United Church of Christ, they've lost numbers of their churches and things and that kind of. There's a lot going on with this kind of stuff. People breaking away from groups and that kind of stuff. We had the Brethren Church, people breaking away because of their acceptance of homosexuality. United Brethren churches, they have opened up to homosexuality, their leaderships, and so there's churches in the Brethren Church who are leaving, and the Word says, you get the point, you're supposed to come out from among them. We're going to stay and fix it. It's like the people say, we just got to work within the system here in America if you want to change our government. No, you don't. You blow it up. Because you ain't going to fix, you can't fix what can't be fixed. So, hallelujah. But God will give us, that's one thing to stay with truth. I mean, I'm not fighting people. I ain't fighting Catholics. I ain't going to fight Catholics. People believe anything they want to. They're allowed to. God gave them the right to. But I'm going to tell you what, salvation's only in truth. Don't matter what Ed believes on the subject. It don't matter what I'd like to believe on the subject. It won't matter, God didn't ask me my opinion before he gave the Bible. He didn't say, Ed, what do you think? You think it'll be all right? I said, no, he didn't ask you. He gave it and said, and he gives us opportunity. We can believe the truth and walk in the truth. And it's one thing, I'm just telling you this, it is not going to be pleasant for people to walk in the truth today. Because that religion is going to kill a lot of people. That religion is going to rise up. Even before the Antichrist starts, they're going to kill a lot of people. They're going to love you so much that if you don't go along with them and you say they're wrong, you'll find out how open they are. Already today, they're not open. Oh, they say, oh yes, we want, well, freedom, but you don't believe my way? I get a kick out of these people that call themselves liberals. And they say, we believe in all this freedom and everybody ought to have their own choice. But if you make your choice that don't agree with them, they hate you. But there's one thing that says, don't get into hatred, don't get into their fighting and plan. You walk in the light. Hallelujah. Just tell the truth. Nobody's going to get saved if we don't preach the truth.
Yep.
Nobody's going to get saved with that. We can draw crowds and make churches of 50,000 people, but if they ain't born again, it doesn't matter at all. If they follow false religion, it don't matter at all.
Amen.
It means nothing. It's worthless. And so, let's walk in the light. We're in this days and time. We're here. It's arrived. I mean, we're not looking for these days to come. These are not some time to the future. And it's like Jesus, I encourage you to listen to Sunday's message because, we have people. Jesus said and told Kenneth Hagin before things get to their worst, he said, I'm going to return. He didn't say it's going to get pretty. Jesus said before it gets to its worst. And I'm going to tell you what, I believe it 100%. I don't believe none of these guys are sitting around acting like all things are all going to get really glorious. Yeah, rot's a ruck. We'll see that one. Number one, you have to show me scriptures on that. I done read the book and it don't seem pretty. It's one thing is truth. There has always been dealing with the truth. It's always been a remnant of people. It's not been the crowd don't follow truth. The crowd follows each other, whatever pleases because, there's one thing is about true Christianity will give you strength to stand. False religion will always have you lead to follow after because you'll be too weak to go stand by yourself. You can't do it. And you're going to need other people. You're going to have somebody else patting you and petting you all the time to keep you happy. And there's we need to be leaders today. And see, I believe God put the church to be a leader in the world.
Amen. That's right.
And I'm following Jesus. I ain't following people. We're following Jesus. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you for your goodness and kindness and mercy in Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the truth because, Lord God, how horrible it is that people end up in the conditions of this time and period that we see here. Father God, what an awful thing to look at, to think that humans are going to end up in these destitute situations and terrible, Lord God, lost forever. I mean, Lord God, even in the life that they're living while they're alive is going to be hell. And to think then what they go to afterwards. I mean, so Father God, I want to thank you, Father. Father, you've given us the opportunity to tell people the truth. And Lord God, hallelujah, we're just going to tell people the truth. Lord, let people know that we're leaving. We're not going to stay here in these things. We're going to be gone, but we're inviting people to go along. Hallelujah. And Jesus is the answer to go along. Hallelujah. He's the one. There's no other life but in Him. And Father, we just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful. Lord, if somebody preached the gospel to us, I'm so thankful, Lord God, that I believed it. I'm so thankful. Hallelujah. So thankful, Lord God, that the Word changed my entire life. Hallelujah. Made me pass from death unto life through believing it. And we just thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.